All the best movies are home movies, aren't they? Especially the old ones, the ones made before, say, 1965. Remember the cameras with the two huge light bulbs, bright as nuclear events, that turned the camera person into a science fiction figure, the clickety-clackety racket of the film spools, those two gigantic, glaring bug eyeballs you couldn't look at without going momentarily blind. So, of course, everybody blinked and turned away when the focus was on them, either grinning horribly or mock scowling in genuine pleasure, palms spread out and waving at the camera, declaring in the same gesture both get away from me and come closer. Years ago, one of my brothers converted our family's ancient nuclear event treasures into a single movie you could watch on updated gear. And it was alternately somewhat boring and wicked funny, as even real movies often are. Here's the three youngest siblings racing around on their little three-wheel sit-down scooters, one right behind the other, looking like gnomes, all hairless heads and chubby, pumping knees. There's no sound, but you can almost hear those wooden wheels on the linoleum floor. Here's a neighbor, Mom's good friend, doing the awful Francis Bacon smile palm out thing. One palm, because the other hand has a bourbon and coke in it, and she's trying to hide that. There's a whole series of this action, getting the alcohol out of the scene. I never understood that, but it happened time after time. The camera person, who I think was always Dad, zeroing in on a friend who proceeds to cover up the drink or stash it, thereby calling more attention to it. What was that about, really? These people were all well into legal drinking age, 30 and 40 years old. They weren't drinkers in the sense of drinking too much. It was still a guilty pleasure for some reason. That was then. Here's the dog, Chief. Full name, Chief Fortinbras. I knew, we all knew, this was where we lived. We knew that Fortinbras was a character in Shakespeare's Hamlet, but I didn't know until I was in college that Fortinbras was usually scrubbed from modern productions of the play. To call him a minor character is still overstating it, but Chief was major in our lives, our household, so it's good to see him memorialized on film. Look at him, the size of a smallish lab, dull, sandy brown short hair, heavy body, stubby legs, pinhead. Regarding this lovable mutt, no one's first thought, human or canine, I'm sure, no one's first thought would be Chief. The disconnect between expectation and actual, too much. I guess you could say the same thing about any number of world leaders, not to mention movie stars. That's the thing about movies. Once the technology had gone beyond point and shoot, the line between believable and not began to blur. Now, I'm old enough to remember black and white westerns where good guys and bad were getting shot left and right, and they just fell down and stopped moving, as we did out in the backyard, mimicking those movies. No blood, no fatal wound histrionics, no loose body parts, just pretend dead. Today, you see the full-screen black hole of the gun's muzzle, the bullet leaving the barrel, maybe in slow motion, the bullet entering the guy's eyeball, turning it to glue, then exploding out the back of his head in a spray of hair, blood, and brains. That did not happen. The guy is a famous actor with kids and ex-wives and restraining orders. He was on TV this morning, live, hallucinating in his day-to-day way. You know Jack Nicholson didn't actually get his nose ripped open in Chinatown. Willing suspension of disbelief. What it is. From Aeschylus through Shakespeare, right on through to the modern movie industry, part of our reality relies on acting, that is, unreality, and on the actor's typical offstage theatrics as well, a separate reality, often lavish in the unreal and or surreal components of its causes and consequences. They get paid to fake stuff. They don't live like us. This all underscores the two ways of willing suspension of disbelief. We know what they're doing in the movies isn't real. The movie makers know what they're doing isn't real. They know, we know, they know it isn't real, and vice versa. Amid all this pretense, the old philosopher's question, why is there something rather than not something, gets turned on its ear. The question isn't why, but rather, is there something, anything, real, really?